8:19 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to the Morning Musers. Boy, do we have an interesting show for you today, because we have Giorgio on vacation, running from the law and running from a very disparaging Guide Live story that was published about him and his effect on music. So he's out, and then Junior has fallen sick, so much so that he barely has a voice today. Now, he's in studio, and he's next to me, but he only speaks when he has something very important to say. And I believe that the last segment of Hot Sports Opinions almost killed you, almost took it out of you.
That is correct.
And the reason that you're sick is because you went on this race across America, you had horrible weather, you had sleep deprivation, you put your body through hell, and it's catching up to you now. And on your trip across America, you gathered a lot of stories, and you've shared them with us the past few days. Incredible tales and the horror that you put yourself through in order to get from one coast to another coast. Well, of course, going coast to coast, you traveled through Middle America, and you had a lot of observations about disappearing Middle America. What has happened to Middle America, and specifically small town America? Because this topic, I mean, it has so many branches. First of all, when you say Middle America, I wonder, are you talking middle class? Are you talking the geographical middle? Are you talking about just people who are just kind of regular people in the world? You know, how they live now compared to how they lived 30 years ago. Is life getting better for Middle America? Or is Middle America going downhill? What did you see while you were out there?
You know, for me, I'm specifically talking about geographical Middle America, because I started to notice this in the little towns in Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio.
Okay.
The heartland. And what I noticed was something that was kind of depressing and sad. Most of the little towns we went through, they were just a shell of their former selves. You could see that there were the bones there of a once thriving town, but two-thirds of the businesses were shut down. Mm-hmm. Two-thirds of the buildings were dilapidated. The people seemed to be a little depressed, and it got me thinking, what has happened to small-town America? And I know there are several reasons for why the small towns are, dare I say, disappearing. Nobody's moving to the small towns. And I think one reason is that everybody seems to be fleeing the small towns. And is that because partly due to the media, television, the explosion of the internet, everything you see that looks like it's fun and amazing is happening in the cities? And are the small towns losing their population to the big cities because everybody in America now feels like that's where it's at?
Well, a few things. You have to go where the jobs are. And if jobs start drying up in small town America, which once that starts, how do you stem the tide of it? I mean, you start having less jobs. People have to go to cities to get jobs, and then you have fewer people in the town, and that town then requires less businesses. So those remaining businesses start going out of business. So that the trend only goes one way there. And I also think that, and this is pure speculation, but there is a mental shift in America. And maybe in the 40s and 50s, when we were really moving out of the agricultural type America, because still around 1900, all our great-grandfathers were farmers and stuff like that.
Yep.
So when you get into the 40s and 50s, I think that there was an idea of that you stayed put. I mean, you stay in the town where you were born, you live in that small town, and that is a family identity that you have. And now we have the idea of you improve your lot. You know, it's sad to stay where you were born. Mm-hmm. It's sad to just be in the same place your whole life. That's seen as a negative thing, not a good thing. And people are much more mobile and restless. People are mentally restless, and that creates certain physical restlessness, and they end up moving. And I'm with you. I've driven through some of the small towns that I was from, that I lived in, And it's really sad to see them because you drive down Main Street and most of the buildings are empty. And there's just that feeling of it's a ghost town. And I always drive through there and I hate myself for feeling sorry for people that live there because I don't know their life. Maybe they love living there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's great. They probably don't have a lot of the mental states that people in the city feel. Sardine theory, depression, all that. Maybe they love it out there. But then again, maybe they're exactly the way I interpret them, which is they are beaten down.
I feel bad for the young people when you go through those towns.
All there is to do is drink, drug, and put urinary tracts close together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my observation was the people that I saw in small towns, 90% of them did not appear to be doing well. They all looked beaten down. Everybody walks with a hitch in their giddy-up. They're not eating farm fresh anymore because farming is on the decline. So back in the day in the small town, they were eating the healthiest diet possible.
Now it's fast food.
And now all they eat, you know, you go into some of these towns and yes, all they have is a McDonald's or the convenience store because that's what we were having to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched person after person limp into the convenience store and come out with nothing but processed, horrible food.
Right. And sometimes they ride there on those motorized scooters.
I saw so many of those.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point about the jobs, which is I think is a good point, people are going to the big cities for the jobs. I think also killing the jobs in the local small towns, the advent of Amazon.
Yeah.
Where I saw all these specialty stores that had closed down or were on their last legs and like a furniture store. Well, the furniture store in the small town cannot possibly keep enough inventory and they don't have enough clients or customers. Everybody's ordering from Amazon and they get their whatever they want delivered the next day and the little stores in the little towns can't possibly keep up.
No, and everyone laments the decline of the mom and pop business, but that's all talk. People go to Walmarts. People order on Amazon. They don't support mom-and-pop businesses because when it comes to my pocketbook, I don't want my ox gourd to support mom-and-pop stores.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they go away. People are always in search of what's the best deal. I can get it $20 cheaper online than I can from down the street from my neighbor's shop. And so I'm just going to order there. Yeah, so you have no need for the local business like you used to.
I saw so many Trump supporters, and you know he won the election a lot with the working class vote, and I got the sense, you know, I didn't talk to anybody specifically about it, but I did get the sense that everybody in middle America or small town America is so beaten down and so they feel helpless, and oddly they turn to a billionaire because I think they thought, well, he's good at business and making money, so his policies will bring our community back to life. And I think that it was a last ditch effort on their part in a way to cast a vote for him because they weren't moved that way by Hillary,
right?
But they were moved by this billionaire who they thought could bring money to their community.
Yeah, he was the billionaire who was seen as also a common man who was willing to give the finger to the establishment that a lot of people feel doesn't care about them. And I think that liberal elitism, that left coast and New York City stuff, you know, that I think that middle America feels talked down to.
Yes.
And they have such a chip on their shoulder about these liberal elites that are so condescending to them and treat them as rural rubes, treat them as idiots. And so, yeah, I think that they got a huge emotional boost out of voting for someone like Trump, who was willing to say blank you to Hillary and willing to say, yeah, she's going to be in jail. And that's why I thought, you know, I was the only one on the ticket to predict a Trump victory.
Yep.
And that's why, because in talking to a lot of people, relatives, friends who lived outside of the city, there was a huge support for Trump. Trump touched something emotionally in them that it felt like finally we can exercise this voice. This voice will get heard, and it's through Trump because we hate Hillary and we hate the Washington establishment and we're pissed off. You know, we all have that vague pissed off about life. A lot of it's just life's limitations, but we have to pin life's limitations on someone. And you do it on the people in Washington, all of them. So, yeah, lots of Trump support. And that's what James, I told you this story, James McMurtry said, you know, I travel all over the country, and I saw that Trump was doing much better than any of these polls said.
Yeah.
Because I actually travel through America. Yeah. I don't sit in some office in New York City polling people on a telephone. I drove through there, and I saw the Trump signs.
That was another overriding thought I had while riding my bike through these small towns, or we're parked in the van waiting for the next rider to come in to make an exchange or whatever, was that most of us, most of our P1s who listen to the ticket and all of us here who work at the ticket, I think we get this very micro view of life, and we are so cityfied. All of us were in big cities. Dallas and Fort Worth and the suburbs feel like big cities because it's all part of a metroplex where we have 7 million people. We don't know what's going on in these little towns. We think the whole world is a big city, and we really have forgotten about small town America, and you have no clue what's going on. Most of us have no clue because we never leave the big city. And once you're exposed to it, and we were moving through middle America at a very slow pace. You know, we're going 20 miles an hour all the way across the country. And so it gave us time to kind of soak in what was going on in small town America. And I kept thinking as I'm sitting there on a street corner in Fort Scott, Kansas, or wherever, I kept thinking, boy, most of us in Dallas, Fort Worth just have no sense for what life is like in rural America anymore. And no sense for how depressing it is. Not saying everybody who lives there is depressed. Like you said, some of them may love being in the country. I'm sure a lot of them do. But in general, we don't understand how small town America is dying.
Right. By the way, small town America always feels condescended to. They always have a chip on their shoulder. I remember being from smaller towns, and just when someone would come from a town that was much bigger than yours, you were always defensive. Well, I know that y'all probably have this, you know, in a big city and everything. I heard everyone talk that way.
Yeah.
Even if the city was the big city to you was 40,000, and you're from a town of 10,000, you always had a chip on your shoulder about the bigger town.
Yep.
I think we all just feel so psychologically threatened and that we're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Which that is a human seed that is planted in us at birth, but yeah, once again, we pin it on something. That person thinks less of me. Meanwhile, that person may not be thinking less of you.
But in the case of liberals, I think a lot of them do think less of middle America.
I do too. What do you think the small town looks like in 100 years? Has it vanished, or is there enough to keep it afloat for eternity?
I think you will have, if they're smart, they'll legalize meth and have like state-of-the-art meth labs everywhere. And that's what
that would do it.
That's what the country is for, producing our meth.
That would help.
Well, that's what goes on a lot out there.
I know.
Meh! Because we're once again back to humans. What are we all looking for?
A release.
Just a release from life. If you're so, drugs just become the way everyone goes. You go to a small town, man, it is nothing but listen to that Serial podcast from NPR people. They did this. And it's set in Alabama.
S-Town?
S-Town. And that shows you just, that's what people do out there, man. You just, you get drunk, you do drugs, you light stuff on fire, you blow up porta potties. You're just doing anything to kill time until you can get to the grave.
Yep. You got nothing else to do.
Nothing else. And getting worked up about Obama and Obamacare. So did you, and since you're writing, you didn't have too much interaction with anyone who lived there.
You know, I had small talk with, so you know how the race went, I'd ride for 45 minutes and then I would have about 2 hours off.
Mm-hmm.
And we would drive to the next town. If we were in the Leapfrog vehicle, we would drive to the next town and wait for the next rider to come in. So I did have 15 minutes in this little town, 20 minutes in this little town. So I tried to small talk, you know, as many people as I could, whether it was the the kid walking home from basketball practice or the clerk at the convenience store and just trying to get a feel. And the feel was beaten down.
Why don't people move more often?
You know, some of them can't. They can't move to the city unless they have a job. They can't just go there because rent is expensive. And
but I thought, and this is since I've had the same job since I was 22
mm-hmm.
or 21. I thought the idea was that it was the American dream. You just move. I mean, you're mobile and you can easily make your way. You just go to another town, you get a job, and then you have money.
It's not that easy. Not anymore.
Hmm. And then we have the disappearing middle class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always kind of amazed me how it seems like a lot of people are just okay with this income inequality. You know, some people talk about it, and some people are very passionate about it. But yet even some people who suffer from income inequality don't mind voting for the rich people.
Yep.
Voting for policies that create more income inequality.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they see that as fairness. Maybe they say, like, hey, we all have the same rules that apply to us, and those people are rich, and if they can get more rich, I hope they do, even if that's at my expense. I don't care, because they did it fairly. They didn't break rules in order to get more money and drive my income down. Maybe that's the way they see it. But I don't know. I mean, middle America doesn't seem to have a problem with income inequality.
Well, if you take inventory and you realize you've been stuck in Dallas-Fort Worth for years without looking at small-town America, take a drive this weekend out into East Texas, go through some small towns, or West Texas, and check it out for yourself.
I'm going to go try to get a job in small-town America, and I'll teach you all.
You might get hired.
One day you'll see. One day you'll all see. And there you go. All right, it's 8:30.